Welcome back to Crooked Spine Show. Today we talk to Christy about understanding how to reduce stress. She has certain concepts that I have not heard before, such as water up, fire down, that she teaches to kids along with adults and seniors. She spends a lot of time in Glendora School District teaching kids understanding nutrition, also stress relief. In these classes, she helps kids understand making better choices are better for your overall health when it comes to foods, and helps parents understand that need too, to promote that at home, having better choices at home and then in the fridge. We talk about the long-term effects of having stress on both kids and adults, even ways to sleep better. And at the end, her and I both walk through a certain exercise and games to de-stress the body and stay in the present moment to keep our body healthy. So let's go right to the talk, and I'll talk to you afterwards.
Nice to meet you too. Another thanks for
interview. Hold a second. Oh, that's when you're ready. On the Crooked Spine Show, let's talk about what you do. We talked about initially about how do we de-stress our body through understanding the gut is our second brain. And how do we make our second brain less inflammatory? People with IBS issues, a constipation, diarrhea, they have problems like that. Other inflammatories, you see, they've been diagnosed medically. How do they come to you for help? How do you build that bridge with them? What do you do?
So how I build that bridge, I mean, first I really need to understand what they're experiencing.
Okay.
So I have a simple, you know, form that we work through, because so often digestive issues, we think, okay, there's something going on with my gut, but it might show up in other areas with not being able to sleep or...
So I kind of look
at a whole array of symptoms of what they're experiencing. Okay. So I have a better idea versus, okay, well, my stomach hurts or I feel bloated. There's usually other things going on too, probably what you see in your practice.
Well, you take an example, I'm like, okay, you have, in my sense, back pain, neck pain. How's it affect your life? How's it affect your quality of life? What are you doing more of or less of? Or are you taking medication, not taking medication, based on what this problem is causing in your life?
Yeah, and probably similar to back pain, digestive issues can really stop your life.
Huge.
You know, if you're having bathroom issues, if you've got diarrhea, you can't go anywhere. You need something and food goes right through you.
Yeah.
It's serious, and people are usually, a lot of times, really suffering and their life has changed drastically.
And they become somewhat introverted, I'm assuming. It's not a thing you want to talk about at dinner table.
Well, just going out becomes a huge issue.
No.
And so I'm really looking at what is that person experiencing and finding out what are their goals. You know, I really need to have a really good foundation of what their goals, what they're looking for, to find out if we're a right fit together.
So you want to give them a solution. Okay, and what are you looking for? Looking for something that might be in my specialty or outside. If it is, great, I have something else for you.
Yeah.
But you want to help them either way.
Yeah, I want to help them, and if for some reason I can't help them, I want to be able to refer them to somebody that can help them with their specific goals that they have.
Exactly.
But no matter what somebody is dealing with digestively, or, you know, they might not always know it's digestive, but almost everything comes back to the gut, right? is that, you know, chronically people are dealing with stress.
Yes.
So what I'm really specializing in is helping people reduce their stress level.
Perfect.
Is bringing that down. So no matter what's going on in our life, we need some tools to be able to be in life and be able to handle the things. We can't always control the situations, but we can control our reaction to that.
I'm going to check the video quick.
Okay.
But with that too, what age group do you usually have someone come and talk to you about? What's a good bracket for you that you...
So what's really fun about what I do, which is probably kind of unique, is I work with all ages.
Right.
I work in the elementary school, so I work with children in the school district and all the schools in Glendora, all the elementary schools. So because of that, but then in my health coaching practice, I'm working with men and women. And so my ages range really from client base, I would say middle school.
Okay.
So around 12, 13 years old, all the way up to 70 in their 70s.
Wow. And you have a good, and what I like about dealing with kids too, that other symptom they have from a gut issue might be problems in a classroom, or their self-esteem or their self-confidence, that affects ability to learn, make friends, have community with people around them.
And really what we're seeing a lot with kids is high stress levels.
Ah.
Anxiety and depression are chronic right now. So if we can make an impact, so if I can give them tools now that they can learn how to manage stress at this age and be able to you know, handle those assignments. I mean, it might sound simple, but it's not. There's so much pressure on kids these days.
Yes.
So when working with kids, I'm up to preventing health issues.
Like how do you do that? What do you do?
So we do it through fun games and activities, simple movements, but teaching them very similar. When I'm teaching adults, I'm teaching kids.
Okay.
And we're teaching them how to create a natural state of balance in their body, how to reduce their stress, how to turn the stress response off. So when they wake up in the morning, what can they do so that they're starting their day out feeling grounded and their stress levels low?
Because there's nothing on the stimulus set in the environment to cause more stress. So why not build up that foundation before you get out of bed or when you're before you go to school?
Right. So if you think about it, if we get up and we're already playing the list of what we have to do today, our stress level goes up. Right?
Yes.
But if we get up and we have a simple exercise, simple movement that you're breathing and really grounding yourself, a mindfulness exercise, then you feel stronger. Like you've actually created a balance in your body. And so then you start your day. You're in a different place.
You can tolerate more
stress. Does that make sense?
You can actually stay relaxed throughout the day.
Yeah.
Because you build up that somewhat tolerance to that environment. Yeah.
And then what we want to do is we actually want to put simple, just really simple, like 1 or 2 minute exercises in throughout the day bring us back to that point. So once we know what that point feels like, then we can come back to it. So I teach kids and adults our natural state of balance is something called water up, fire down.
What does that mean?
I know. What in the world am I talking about?
People out there, those people.
You want to know what that means. Okay, so would you say you make better decisions when you have a hot head or a cool head?
Cool head.
So when our head is cool,
yes,
we make much better decisions.
Yes,
we
I'm a hothead usually,
much.
Yes. Usually I am.
Okay, so our natural state of balance in our body is that we make warm energy in our body, and then that energy is meant to flow down to our abdomen.
Okay.
So when it does that, then we digest our food properly, we go to the bathroom properly, our circulation is good.
So that means your body's in less stress state.
It's in a less stress state.
Okay.
And then that's signaling our kidneys to release water. And that water goes up to our brain and cools our head.
Wow.
So that's our natural state of balance.
Okay.
When it reverses, that energy in our body goes up to our head, and we feel anxious and depressed, if I can say that.
Yes.
Or like we don't have enough time or overwhelmed.
Overstressed.
Yes, good word, right? Stressed.
Okay. Just stressed.
And our abdomen becomes cool.
Okay.
And so then we start dealing with stomach aches, bloating, digestive issues.
So side effects of that being
side effects of that. Okay. And so what I'm teaching people to feel in their body is that difference. Like when your head's starting to get hot, when you're starting to get frustrated, that's a really good time for a brain break.
Great.
It's a really good time, but you've got to learn. So what I'm teaching them right off the bat is you've got to learn what does it feel like to create a cool head and a warm abdomen or water up, fire down. Once they know how that feels, and they know how to do it, they can duplicate it, they can balance themselves in the morning, they can put little things in throughout the day so they stay in that state. Because the goal would be that we're not in a chronic state of stress.
No.
You know,
that keeps your body healthy, I'm assuming, overall, when you can stay there and over time adjust your body, I want to say chemistry and hormonal levels, so that becomes your natural state.
Yes.
So from there, it's hard to get back to a stress state all the time.
Yes. So you're training your brain.
Yes.
And you're training your body, but you're training your body and your brain to work together.
Good. Communicate together.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So stress is when our body and our brain are disconnected.
Yeah.
So doing simple movements where we do a lot of body tapping or, shaking is really good too. Shaking, tapping.
Okay.
That once you're doing something and you're tapping a part of your body and you're breathing, you're bringing that connection to your body and your brain back together.
And are you distracting yourself too from overthinking it? Overthinking what's going on.
Yes.
Where the carousel keeps spinning faster and faster and faster.
So the goal in these movements is to get our mind focused. So we can play a little game if you want to try it.
Is it focusing on the present versus everything around you?
It depends on what we're doing. Yes. Yeah, so we want to get into that present moment. So there's different ways that we do that. So I do something called whole body tapping where you start tapping your head and you're breathing and you're noticing just what you feel in your head.
Okay.
So the more you're just paying attention to what you feel when you're tapping your head, the more you're going to be in the present moment. Now, you could possibly still think about what you have to do, but the goal would be to really just focus on your breath and tapping and what you notice in each part of your body when you're tapping.
Okay.
Now, I do have some games that there's no way you can think about anything else, because to play that game or to do that activity, you've got to, you have complete focus with. Okay. Usually it's a partner exercise.
Yes, yes, so. Yes. Good.
I might show you myself. Today. I don't know. There's no embarrassing yourself.
I'm already embarrassed enough as it is. Let's hear you go. Right. And with your classrooms right now, when you teach the kids, how do you get them to buy into what you're helping them with? Because you said, is it elementary school?
So right now,
in
the Glendora School District, I'm contracted with kindergarten through fifth grade.
Got it, so more.
So I go into every elementary classroom two times a year. And if you think about it, I get to walk in the classroom, and it's like, I feel like I'm a, like, grandma, right?
Exactly.
Like, yay, you're
here! Your
guest.
Yeah.
And so they enjoy it. They're getting a different routine than what their normal day is. And most of the time, usually I'm bringing food, but I'm usually bringing vegetables.
Nothing wrong with that.
And it's so much fun because they are excited to have me come in and to eat vegetables.
It's like, next time, the carrot, literally the carrot, is in their face.
And what's so interesting is so often with kids, you know, we in our society, we want to give them treats, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to make them happy.
Chocolate,
and we use food as a reward.
Yes.
Unhealthy foods as a reward.
Yes, you do.
And I never, ever bring anything unhealthy.
Good.
And they're really excited to see me.
Fantastic.
Huh.
Like,
interesting.
Wow, this does work.
It really does. So, so one of my goals in these programs are to teach kids to love vegetables.
Fantastic.
And how much fun healthy eating can be.
How do you get them to do that?
So, you know, each grade level builds off of each other.
Okay.
So we start in kindergarten with a program called Super Veggies, Super Kids.
Okay.
And we're talking about the superpowers of vegetables that they give you in your body.
Yes,
and then we get to eat vegetables.
Fantastic. I want to be a superpower. I want to be a superhero.
Yeah. And then they have a goal of trying to eat 5 servings of vegetables a day, and they have their chart to fill out. And
fantastic.
I had one mom share with me that her daughter came to her, it was bath time, and she was like, I need one more serving of vegetables, Mom.
That's awesome.
I need to eat one more.
That's
so
great.
So, you know,
you're getting motivated. You're getting them to buy in by going, okay, here, let's keep people motivated. Whatever the motivation is, let's associate that with the food. Associate that with what's going to make them first grade, second grade, third, fourth grade, whatever they are.
And here's the thing with kids is they want to be healthy, and they want to feel good, but they don't necessarily know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at our marketing, and we market so much to kids on TV and through advertising unhealthy options.
Yeah.
And so it looks so fun. You know, there's no competing with these fun cereals.
There's
that
no
there's,
fun
you know?
Broccoli and carrot running around the screen every day.
You know, there's just no animated fun stuff right there, right? So, you know, I'm trying to teach them, why is it so important? Like, kids want to know why. Why is this good for me? Why isn't that good for me? So being able to have those conversations, and the more that I'm doing these lessons. This is my 5th year doing these lessons. So the kids I'm working with in 4th grade started with me in kindergarten.
So you're almost seeing them full cycle.
Yes.
All
and so they've had, not that it's a lot, it's only 2 lessons a year, but that's been consistent.
Fantastic.
And their questions have gotten so much deeper. And so it's that consistent. I would love to see more lessons, but just that they've gotten that foundation year after year, and they're able to take their knowledge to a deeper level.
That's great.
And so it's so much fun.
Well, and as we all are, we're just naive. They just don't know. That's why they ask questions. And when you answer the questions and give them an exciting answer, they go, wow, I want to do that.
Yeah. And
you're
then we're learning that things taste good.
You're the best marketing for, like, superfoods and organic foods. They should pay you Sprouts or something.
Right. You know, I've been thinking about that. You know, I actually take people through tours of Sprouts and show them how to shop there. And I've been thinking that I should approach them.
I'll be your agent.
Let's do that. That would be awesome.
But you're helping kids at that level. And then when they get to junior high, then high school, and also beyond too, sometimes it does fall off. But how do you keep them motivated, maybe your personal clients or through the school, to keep that process going, that positive marketing for organic foods, maybe myself a parent, yourself a parent, or someone in the community looking to help a nephew, a niece, whatever it might be, or even a teacher. How would you keep them, what advice would you give them to motivate them to help their being a guardian, somebody, whoever it might be, to keep them motivated? What would you do?
To keep them motivated when we're not having our lessons, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, us being an example to our kids or people in the community, they might not want to copy what we do, but they're going to notice it.
Yeah.
And one of the messages I've been trying to get out consistently is that if we're going to change the, you know, kids are sick and people don't realize how sick kids are.
No.
1 in 10 kids under 10 has a fatty liver. That's pre-diabetic. And that's from processed food, packaged food, sugar. We can change that.
Yeah.
But it's going to take our churches, our kids, our sports groups to offer healthy options. Like, why are we still giving kids unhealthy treats after a soccer game or a baseball game?
Yeah.
You know, they're needing to nourish their body, and we're not giving them foods that really fuel their bodies. And so that's been my message for a long time to, you know, us as adults, we need to start looking at what are we actually doing to kids' health by wanting to reward them or treat them.
Because we're responsible for them no matter what.
Yes.
If they're sick or healthy, I'd rather the kid healthy. One thing, it's less cost for me insurance-wise, health insurance-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have a kid that's healthy, have good self-esteem and confidence, and result be a good person because they are healthy?
Yeah, and that they know how to make healthy choices for themselves.
Huge.
That
Huge.
Us teaching them how to make healthy choices, you know, if you think sometimes in schools we're rewarding kids with unhealthy foods, and I'll tell you, sometimes I'm doing a lesson and in come the cupcakes or things like that.
Of course.
Right?
it's almost a what we've learned as kids ourselves, sometimes future, we had parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, that's what they did.
Yes. And so then, instead of teaching, we have such a huge opportunity in schools and in these organizations to teach children healthy options that we're not taking that opportunity to really teach them self-care. And then they're needing to hire me as an adult.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, we know physical exercise is good for them. You know exercise is good for them. We know that, but why not focus on nutrition too?
Yeah.
If he has the same weight, even as mental health also, to keep a child, a person healthy.
Yes.
And you said, as parents, we love our cupcakes. We've been raised that way where our taste buds want that. You go to a shopping center that has a donut shop and a healthy option, and at that point, where's the bigger line?
Right.
Exactly.
Yes. So one day, it's going to be at the healthy option.
One day.
But then to go back to your question on what are things that
yes.
we can do is make sure you have fresh foods in the house.
Huge.
Options. The things that we know are not healthy options, don't have
good.
You know, if they're going to go get them, they're going to have to go buy them with their own money.
Get a job to go buy with their money.
Right, yeah, and just making it accessible. Another thing is that when we are eating, we want to make our meal times really relaxed and stress-free.
Okay.
So when we're eating, and if we're eating under stress, we're literally turning off our digestive system.
Wow.
So
how's it happen?
So what's
in a science-based
in a science
person.
Space.
Sorry.
So, you know, if we look at rest and digest mode
yes.
in our body, right, then our blood is actually sitting in our abdomen waiting to digest our food. That's turned on
okay.
in our body, right?
Got it, okay.
We're relaxed, we're in a relaxed state.
Yes.
But when we're in fight or flight mode, our blood leaves our abdomen, goes to our arms and our legs to fight or to flee.
Yes.
And to our brain to think. So if we're in a stress spot where we're stressed, we're in fight or flight.
Yes.
Okay? So if we go to sit down and eat, and we're in fight or flight mode, our blood is not in our abdomen waiting to digest our food. We're more worried about, you know, do I need to run or hide? And so,
where's that tiger?
So when we're sitting down to have meals really enjoyable. It's not the time to ask your kids if they clean their room or if they
right.
have a test.
Why do you get another D on your grade of physical education?
Right, and we don't think
class.
About that. It's like, oh, we finally have a couple minutes with them. What is that list of things I needed to ask them to do?
And I think a lot of it is being, like, so relaxed state is maybe at breakfast or lunch. And give yourself the time.
Yeah.
When you're rushing out of the house or have another event going on, that's not a time to have a good meal. To
right.
really... to be able to, like, if the blood's out of your stomach, where does that food go to? What does it turn into?
Right. I mean, we're not absorbing the nutrients from our food. It's kind of sitting there waiting to be digested.
It breaks down and it sometimes turns into fat or adipose tissue. At that point, now you've caused more of a health issue.
Yes.
And not just one meal, obviously. You can have meat once in a blue moon, but when it's consistently your lifestyle because you're running around all the time, then what are you doing to your body?
Exactly.
Your body stays in a stress state. At that point, you've gotten out of that relaxing. So now this is your stress state is always your normal, and you have to work hard to get back down there again.
Exactly.
I think. That's just
yeah.
me.
So if you think about it, when we're talking about water up, fire down.
Yes.
So water up, fire down is rest and digest.
Okay.
Okay?
And which one is rest and digest?
Rest and digest is when your digestive system is on, you feel relaxed.
You have the water up and fire down.
Brain's cool, right?
Got it.
You're in rest and digest. Okay?
In a relaxed state.
When you're in fight or flight, stress mode?
Yes.
You're in fire up, water down.
Keep the fire down, people.
So they're the same things, just different languaging.
Yes.
So and we want a warm abdomen is actually the state of healing for your abdomen.
Great.
When we're looking at digestive health.
And people understand, how do we get to a relaxed state? When you do simple things like this, allows you to take small steps, mm-hmm. and that feels good to you. What else can I do? What is the effect when someone is not in a relaxed state all the time?
They're not in a relaxed state. I mean, when
they're more fire up and water down.
Well,
what would you see as a client, as an adult client, I guess?
I mean, we see all sorts of symptoms,
okay.
right? I mean,
exactly.
Look at our
exactly.
country.
Welcome to America.
We see it all over.
Welcome to America.
But for sure, you know, that's when we're in a stress state, right? Mm-hmm. Or we're in our head, we're feeling anxious or overwhelmed, like there's not
exactly.
enough time. We're
that's
in that fight or flight
too.
Mode
yes.
consistently. So it's just going to depend, how is that going to show up in your body? Is it going to show up as, you know, an autoimmune disease or, you know, digestive issues or just inflammation in your body?
Yes.
But chronic headaches or, it just kind of depends how it's going to
happen. Lack of sleep, maybe back pain, neck pain, whatever it is. Tension headaches, like you mentioned too, anxiety, depression.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is, and from that too, one step further, is you start taking days off of work. You start
mm-hmm.
drinking more. You start taking more medications because
yeah.
you think it's going to help you.
Yeah.
You start seeing a therapist because you think you have mental conditions for one too. So how do you get back to the source, the root, is figure out, okay, what's my basis? Am I getting enough exercise? Am I eating well? So my stress levels stay down.
Mm-hmm.
My vagus nerve turns off, the stress nerves turn off
mm-hmm.
by keeping the cold and the hot down here so my body gets to a less stressed state.
Yes.
And when you get there, what I do with my patients is now I can tolerate moments of this without going here.
Yeah, I mean, stress is
we need
some stress.
We're going
to
get a flat
tire.
We
don't need it to.
But
we don't need to be living in that.
No.
But you know what's interesting? You were talking about sleep, and this week I was teaching fifth graders on brain health. So we're starting
mm-hmm.
to introduce the concept of the brain-gut connection.
Okay.
And
okay.
So lucky to be able to start having those conversation with kids that are 10.
And
then
you
see you know, have that understanding.
That makes sense.
But we were talking about sleep and how important sleep is.
Yes.
And how many hours they need to sleep at that age. And I just, a question popped into my head, and I said, you know, how many of you have a hard time falling asleep at night? And at least half the class raised their hand. And we already know adults, fifth graders, right? But we already know adults are challenged with sleep and that that's causing major issues in health. And so what I'm becoming even more aware of is how young children are starting to deal with sleep issues. And that we know if we're not sleeping, our brain is not getting the time it needs to heal at night. And that's so foundational.
Or
that
recharge, or repair,
yep.
or just shut down and get ready for the next day.
Yeah. So I think
what was
that's
the cause
enough.
Of that? You figured out, or what are common causes?
So the question I asked them
sleeping.
Before that is, how many of you guys are on an electronic device before you go to bed?
It's amazing.
So you know our world's changed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the technology isn't going to go anywhere.
It's not going downstairs. It's not going downstairs where you had one TV.
Right.
Which none of these kids even know what it is.
Yeah.
A tube TV. At that point,
yeah.
turning it on or off, and go, parents go, hey, look, turn that off. I can hear that.
Right.
They can do it in the room silently, quietly,
yeah.
under their sheets if they want to, and keep
yeah.
chatting away if they want
yeah.
to.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it's going to be becoming aware of how do we make those healthy boundaries with our technology,
of
that
course.
Our technology is our friend, but we also need to have some limits because it is affecting, and that's just one area.
Well,
you know,
there's a lot of studies, too, when, you,
yeah.
when you're on a device, when you're getting a device, especially watching a show or a movie, or maybe not a podcast, because we're not too entertaining and crazy, is you have a big dopamine release, like playing a video game or watching an action movie too. If you have it all the time, your body goes adrenal fatigue, then you get that long-term fatigue
mm-hmm.
where you want that dopamine hit every time.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of these platforms that are out there, they want it, at least sponsors especially, they want to hit the dopamine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have that break, and what I've seen, at least you probably have more than me, is at least an hour before you go to bed, shut everything off.
Yes.
At least an hour, shut everything off.
Yes.
A chance to get that dopamine out of your body, de-stress your body, change your hormone levels to a more relaxed state. At that point, if you take a hot shower or a bath, use
mm-hmm.
lavender too as an adult, that point your body can relax even more.
Yes.
And why is sleep so important?
Why is
I know
why,
but David and I.
Well, you can jump in whenever you want.
Yeah, the basic example
I'm sharing with the kids, at least, is that, I mean, that's really when our brain recharges.
Huge.
We are seeing more and more brain gut issues, right?
Huge.
And so our brain is not getting the support that it needs. We need that time to recharge, and we're not getting it.
And sometimes when you do sleep and we're relaxed, the things we had problems with the day before, we find solutions for those problems the next day. It's amazing how our brain works. We don't even know a lot about our brain yet, technology-wise, how the inside works, how things work that are self-healing, self-regulating. That is just our body.
Yeah.
But when our body is stressed, we can't do that.
Yeah.
We stay out of state, and our quality of life becomes less and less. We have symptoms that we run the doctor for versus finding what the root of the problem is again.
Yeah.
And we keep going back to that more and more, because I think is when we talk about how our human physiology works, there's only certain things that it does. And a child versus an adult and a senior is not much different.
Right.
But when we try to deal with it differently, we overcomplicate it and we make our lives more stressed.
Mm.
Versus less stressed, okay, what are three or four things I can focus on to de-stress my body?
Yeah.
That's the work I can look at and maybe can help somewhere else. But what can I focus on, which you teach, how people to breathe, how people to tap, look at things to de-stress body, get the focus off of what's going on around them, to inside them, be in the present, be in what's going on right now.
Yeah. Gotta get in that present moment.
I'm trying to hear what you're saying. I'm trying to learn something here. That's
absolutely. Yeah. And we gotta slow down.
Huge.
Imagine that.
And you can go 100% all the time, but what's the downside?
Mm-hmm.
When do you hit the wall and go, okay, I'm gonna be out for about 4 or 5 days? Now I have a cold that won't go away.
Yeah, we either slow down or our body will slow us down.
How is the immune system affected by stress?
Wow. So, you know, if we think about it, digestively, we make 80% of our immune system in our gut.
Okay. Yes.
So if we're not taking care of our gut, our immune system is going to be affected.
Okay.
And so...
How does it affect it? How does it do that?
How does it affect that?
How does it lower your immune system in your gut?
So how does it lower your immune system? So... let me see how I phrase that. You know, I mean, knowing that if we are not taking care of our body, so, you know, if we're looking at building our immune system, we're looking at needing to create that balance in our body.
But having proper foods.
Right,
proper
food is really important. So
nutrition's
really key.
Huge.
But if you're still under stress, right, you're not going to absorb the nutrients that you need.
No.
So key for building our immune system is getting that natural state of balance in our body. And everything that I do is foundational of understanding that we need to have a warm abdomen. So we've got to, if we want to build our immune system, you know, healthy microorganisms, we hear a lot about that now.
Good bacteria, probiotics.
Yes, healthy bacteria like warmth.
Nice.
Unhealthy bacteria like cold. To warm our abdomen, we've got to create that natural state. We've got to bring the heat down here. And I have certain specific exercises that I teach that create heat in your abdomen. So then you're building your healthy microorganisms, which in turn is building your healthy immune system. The simple movements that I'm teaching heat your body. When you're heating your body, when you're raising your body temperature inside, you're boosting your immune system.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's not hard. It's really simple. And so it's a combination, right, of boosting your immune system is, you know, getting that natural state of balance in your body, your sleep.
And we'd call it more circulation in your body, too?
Circulation, yes.
Okay.
Circulation
is key.
So,
I use that word all the time, so
make sure. I mean, you're probably familiar with this, too,
yes.
But lack of circulation has become the new smoking.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And how does circulation occur?
You got to move.
Motion.
So we cannot sit all the time, right? We've got to move.
My example is if I move my elbow, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm causing a pressure change in my blood vessels to cause more blood to come down here, push them out through the veins, so circulation all the way through my body.
Yeah.
Has to move a joint for that to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So we've got to move. And even just sitting all day, so kids at school or people in the office, we've got to get up every hour and just move our body, even if it's just for a minute. We've got to move our body just a little bit. There's such simple movements that you can do. Even just standing and shaking your whole body for a minute is going to get circulation through your whole entire body.
Even doing a squat stretch, whatever.
Yes.
Just
I love squats.
Even doing like little stretch like this too, get your body to relax for one. And a lot of it is what I've read a couple books on is when you work out and you finish your workout and you've had a good sweat, you have a good, if you want to call it a pump, and you feel good, your brain is working at its peak.
Yeah.
I think it's called Spark is a book I read, and a lot of it is your brain becomes more creative, more solution-oriented. Mm-hmm. It gives you titles of books you want to read. It gives you information you're listening to. Now you actually listen and absorb material.
Yes. So you put learning and movement together.
Yeah, amazing.
And you've got a powerful combination, right?
The best way to learn is to move.
So that learn and move, right? So our brain requires 25% of our blood flow to work. So I work with the brain operating system, and the number one, there's five guidelines in there.
Okay.
And the first guideline is wake up and pay attention.
Hopefully.
So wake up your brain.
Okay, so wake up, period.
Get your blood flow.
Yeah.
So it's really wake up.
Wake up. Make sure you're breathing.
Then wake up your brain,
yes.
Right? So to start your day, you've got to get blood flow to your brain.
Huge.
Right?
How
number
do you do
one.
That? What's the number one way?
You want to do it?
Sure.
I mean,
try
the simple things.
Yes.
I mean, can we stand up? Will we be blocked off?
Where do you want to stand?
We can just stand right here.
Yeah, I'll change the video. Angle.
So.
Hold on, 1 second stretch.
I'll give you the simplest one.
Good. Let's move it here.
We'll do easy.
Are we doing the full body or just that? Okay.
Well, we'll do a couple.
Okay. Right there. Perfect. It's going to show the lower body or just the upper body is fine.
However you want to do it.
Right there.
It's fine.
Good.
So this is great for even people with limited movement. So we're just going to stand like our feet shoulder width apart.
Okay.
And breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And bounce your knees. And just shake your arms like they're noodles.
Got it. Like noodles. Spaghetti.
And if you close your eyes, it really relaxes your body. And just shake. Relax your head. So then just stop and notice what you feel in your body.
Tingling.
Tingling. What does that mean?
Blood flow.
Blood flow, right?
Circulation.
So now if you want to take this to another level, right?
Yes.
Then you can just jump. Shake and jump.
Can I breathe too?
This might be, yes, and breathe.
Yeah.
And if you want to close your eyes,
don't
you can.
Yes.
And then stop. And now what do you feel?
More blood flow, more in my neck and shoulders too, in my head.
Yeah.
The whole body's been moving and compressing and decompressing.
Yeah.
And the joints to move too. So there's more fluid flow, more blood flow.
So do you recommend jumping as long as somebody's healthy
yes.
enough to do it?
Yes, I do actually.
Ah, awesome.
I like this one.
I like that.
It's
yeah.
And that's even with jump rope too, a great warm-up tool that people use.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So, I mean, this was like not even probably a minute, right? And we've just
felt
increased
like
blood flow to our whole entire body.
Yeah.
So this is really simple. If somebody can't jump, we just don't jump.
Yeah.
But, you know, almost anybody can just balance their body and shake.
And
it's really getting the energy flow through our whole entire body.
Phenomenal.
Cool. Huh.
Easy.
Yeah. Do you want to learn another one or is that good?
One more.
Okay, let's do a quick tapping exercise so we can teach people how to create water up, fire down.
Got it.
Okay? And I haven't taught you this one yet either.
Nope.
So this is another way that I like to start my day.
Okay.
And I encourage everybody to at least do this or at least the shaking before they start their day. So we're going to take our fingertips. And once again, we're going to bounce our knees and keep breathing in through our nose and out through our mouth. And you're going to tap your head. So tap the top of your head.
Okay.
And once again, you can close your eyes if you want to, because it really relaxes your body when you can just close your eyes.
Okay.
So what we're doing right now is waking up our brain. And then just tap all over your head.
It shouldn't hurt, right?
It might.
Okay.
You know, there might be tension, so just notice what you feel.
Okay.
You might be like, ooh, there's areas that are tender. And if it is, it just means that area needs more tapping. Where
we have
it's tender, we're holding tension in our body.
Could have a tumor there too.
Just kidding. So what we're doing is I call it head, heart, tummy tapping.
Okay.
And I teach this to kids and adults alike. Really, everything I do is almost the same, no matter what the
they're
age
people,
is.
Right? They're humans.
Right. We
humans.
We all have bodies.
Exactly.
So just breathe and tap. And the next place we're going to tap is our heart. So right here, just tap with your hands and bounce your knees. Close your eyes. And notice what you feel. Do you feel your head getting cooler?
Actually, I do. It's weird.
Isn't that cool?
It's
so
cold. It's cold and weird. It's
so we are creating water up, higher down.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
That is pretty neat.
So if anyone's frustrated or angry, this is what they want to do.
This looks like they're beating themselves, but it feels good.
And then even with flu season going around, we want to bring circulation to our lungs. So this is a really good place to tap.
You feel your, you feel actually like the lower lungs too, actually from that lower lung portion, actually feel over there. Even on your shoulders too, the top of your lungs, you can feel that kind of moving more.
Yeah, so wherever you're tapping, you're bringing that circulation. Okay, last place we're going to tap is right on our belly button, so we're going to tap here. Actually, we have a little game we usually play in the classroom at this point.
I hate your life.
It's kind of like that. I can chew that, but first just tap. Let's count to 10 more. So we'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then rub your abdomen clockwise, and then just put your arms to your side and take a breath and notice what you feel in your body.
All the blood's like in my lower core area.
So would you, does your head feel cool?
Feels cool, a little bit lighter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does your abdomen feel warmer?
Warmer, like right around my core, yes.
Yeah.
More
so congratulations, there. You just created water up, fire down. Woo, high five.
Easy.
Now you can do more in each area if you want to, but it's kind of a shortcut.
It gives you the whole sense of how things work.
Yeah.
The tapping, the jumping, the bouncing, the breathing, considering the move down versus staying in here where all the tension is shoulder and
So the key is we gotta get out of here.
Yeah. That's life. That's 6 inches right here. Gets all of us to be destroyed.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks for playing along.
Of course. It was fun.
Yeah.
Anything else to add for our first video?
Well, I think I feel like I have to teach you at least one brain game.
Good.
So it's part of what I do are the mindfulness and neuroplasticity.
Sure, I'll try
anything
once.
Okay, you'll try it once?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Turn this way.
Okay.
So it's kind of like we're playing patty cake, but we're not really.
Patty
cake. Okay. Okay. So this game is called Wow Wow. Okay. So what we're going to do is clap our hands like this once, and then we're going to clap our hands together. So this is a focus game.
Okay.
So this really focuses the brain. You were talking about, you know, is your mind in the present moment?
Yes.
You can only have your mind in the present moment in this game.
Oh, great.
Okay. So then we're going to clap our hands together once, and we're going to say Wow.
Wow.
And then we're going to clap back here once, and then we're going to clap our hands twice. Wow. Wow, and then clap again, and now three times. Wow, wow, wow. Then clap, and now two times. Wow, wow, and then one. Wow, and then we're going to two. Wow, wow, and then three. Wow, wow, wow. So we're going up to three, down to one. So one, two, three, two, one, two, three, two, one. You ready? Let's do it. Ready? Okay. Wow. In this moment, so cool. So whenever there's a challenge, we want to smile.
Yes.
And breathe out. And then say, I can do it. Okay, ready? Wow. Wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so you can do it. So it's one, two, three, two, one, two, three. This is so cool. And this is how everybody starts. But what I actually teach a class where we're doing brain games like this, and we're making those new connections in our brain, but most importantly, we are releasing negative emotions from our body. So when we mess up, what do?
You go, I can do it. You smile, breathe out, and I can do it.
And before we do that, we are laughing.
Yes.
So laughter is one of the best ways to release negative emotions in the body.
Amazing.
Isn't that cool?
What's it called? Who's that comedian did the movie? What's it called? Patch Adams.
Okay.
Patch Adams, the whole laughing thing for medicine. Everything.
Right, so you want to try one more time?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's do it. Ready? You can do it. Wow. Wow, wow. Wow, wow.
Your vision is, you're focused on making sure you sit at one spot and keep the rhythm going.
Yeah, and can you focus on anything else?
No, you can't.
No. No. And guess what? Our hands are our best connection to our brain.
Oh, okay.
So we're stimulating your brain. releasing negative emotions from our body and making new connections on the right and the left side of our brain. Isn't that cool? Just by
amazing.
Clapping our hands. Nice
well,
job.
I learned it 4 years in chiropractic. It's awesome. Nice
what are you
going to
learn about the playground?
I know. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, I can't do that ever. That's awesome.
And you just did it.
That's
congratulations.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. You've done a great job helping me and people watching the interview too understand going back to being a not naive child, and starting there allows people to, okay, what have I done, not focus on what I've done wrong, but how do I start over?
Yeah.
How do I find out what I can get back to eating well, thinking well, being mindful, and getting things to become a positive reaction so my life become less stressed and can tolerate more stress?
Yeah, and have more fun.
More fun. Awesome.
And laugh. That's key, right?
Oh, anything else?
I think that's it.
I'm worn out. I'm going to stop. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you so much.
Another Andy Kruitz Fine Show, and we'll do another event to learn more from her what I've been doing wrong, or not wrong, but I do write more of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hope that talk gave you some ideas and exercises and games even, how to de-stress your body through movement and also through nutrition. And as an adult, understanding how kids respond to Christy helps you understand how to be a better parent in the sense where giving kids better choice in your refrigerator and at home. And again, go to her links in the show notes, understand how she can contact you directly, and she has classes in my office real soon, but also in her home to give people the sense of how to do this, how to play these games, how to do these exercises, take them on your own group, at that point do them on your own too when you have a chance. And contact Christy because she has classes all the time, not only for kids, but also for adults too, how to play these games, how to de-stress your body. So at that point, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed, your body can think clearly and stay in the present. And she will be doing a workshop at my class at the end of March 2018. So make sure you sign up for that too if you can. Come in and see how she works. And again, go to the show notes for all the highlights. Also watch the video and leave a review on our Facebook or iTunes. At that point, we know that you like this podcast. So again, stay stress-free, learn certain tips from these podcasts. At that point, keep yourself healthy. All right, we'll see you in the next one.